Hi, my name is Amanda Hale, and this is my introductory podcast for the Reddening Path series. It is to be a revisiting of the book I published in 2007 and am now launching as an audiobook. I will share with you some of the background research for that novel, together with a look at how tightly woven it is into my own life. On a sunny Toronto morning in the late 1980s, I was working with fellow artists Lynn Hutchinson and Viv Moore in a garden on Palmerston Avenue. We were making a Celtic Bloodroots installation with masks hanging from a small tree, when a couple of women walked by with a babe in arms. They stopped and commented on our project, and we got talking. They were a lesbian couple who had recently adopted a baby girl from Guatemala. There was a surge of international adoption in the 1980s, children brought from Latin America, India, China, Romania. This was partly to address a growing sterility in the Western world. Many couples were trying out the new reproductive technologies, in vitro fertilization, egg collection, fertility drugs, but adoption proved more reliable. And for gay and lesbian couples, it was a welcome solution. In 1983, I had made the first of what were to be a half dozen trips to Guatemala, on this occasion starting in Mexico on an archaeological quest, unconsciously following what later became known as La Ruta Maya. I crossed the border at Chetumal and travelled through Belize to Guatemala to explore the pyramids in the jungle of Tikal. I was unaware at that time of the brutal political history of Guatemala, a tragic country where the majority Mayan population has lived under conditions of genocide since the 1954 US-backed coup carried out by the CIA. They ousted the democratically elected president, Jacobo Arbenz. My first clue was when our bus, returning north to Mexico, was stopped by the military, and I witnessed the worst case of fear I have ever seen, as a young Mayan boy was dragged off that bus. I later realized that he had been trying to escape conscription into the army. During the long civil war, Mayan boys were trained to kill their own people and destroy their villages. 440 villages were wiped off the map during a 36-year civil war, ending with the so-called Peace Accord in 1996. Toronto during the 1980s was enriched by an influx of refugees from Chile, El Salvador, Greece, and Guatemala. I came to know some of these Guatemalans, lawyers and university students who had fled a country where their fellow protesters were disappeared daily. Lynn, Viv, and I did language exchange with some of these brave souls, and I received a political education with a full background to what I had witnessed on that bus. Lynn and I began installations about the disappeared, the tortured and murdered, exhibiting at Toronto's Ace Base Gallery, Montreal's Powerhouse Gallery, and when I moved west in 1989, at major galleries in BC and Alberta. Reporting about the ongoing atrocities was uphill work, and sometimes felt futile. Guatemala was so far away. There was so much other suffering in the world. No one really cared. The victims were indigenous. I was living in Canada, a country where at that time the indigenous population was more or less invisible, living up north, on reservations, or else on the streets of urban settler cities. In 1987, Lynn and I travelled to Guatemala to paint a mural for the Grupo de Apoyo Mutuo, honouring Rosario Godoy de Cuevas and Hector Orlando Gómez, two of the thousands of murdered Guatemalans. When the mural was complete, we travelled with photographers Ingrid Meyerhofer and Larry Towell, taking testimony from women and children hiding out in churches after the destruction of their villages and slaughter of their menfolk. "Tell our story in your country," they said. "We have no voice." These encounters resulted in a multimedia installation, "The Mountains Are Breathing, La Selva Está Respirando," that travelled from Toronto to Montreal to BC and Alberta. You will understand, perhaps, from this background, how I came to write my second novel, The Reddening Path, published in 2007. Al Forey, my publisher at Thistledown Press, strongly supported this book, despite the objections of some of the reading committee that it was too academic. I believe Al was right in pushing for publication of this story, even now as I revisit The Reddening Path, preparing an audiobook version. I can see quite objectively that it is a fascinating weaving of historical, political, and contemporary experience. For those of you who have not read this book, The Reddening Path tells the story of Pamela's journey home to Guatemala. Adopted as an infant by a Toronto lesbian couple, 21-year-old Pamela travels to Guatemala to search for her birth mother. Her quest becomes a multi-layered adventure, uncovering a tangle of political and romantic intrigue as she discovers her Mayan heritage and learns about life in Guatemala. The history of the Spanish conquest weaves throughout the narrative, colouring the lives of everyone Pamela encounters in her birthland. At its centre is the allegorical love affair between the conqueror, Hernando Cortés, and his indigenous translator, Malinche. In going home to her birthland, Pamela discovers the spiritual and emotional complexities facing those of mixed blood and adopted cultures. Because she is supposed to be writing a paper for a history class at university, she finds herself reaching back, both intellectually and viscerally, to the first imprinting of European culture and Catholicism on the indigenous life of Mesoamerica. The Reddening Path is dedicated to a Mayan family of refugees living in Vancouver. I met Alejandro in 1990 while working at Vancouver Community College, where newcomers go for language instruction. He invited me to his home to meet his wife Zoila and their children, and we soon began working together on political art projects, specifically an installation protesting the 1992 celebration of the 500-year anniversary of Columbus's so-called discovery of the New World. During the civil war in Guatemala, Alejandro had been captured by the army, imprisoned and tortured. His survival was miraculous in a time when the mutilated bodies of most prisoners were found floating in the Rio Selegua, where their wives and families searched every day for their loved ones. Alejandro's family fled to Mexico, where they lived until they were granted refuge in Canada. As I came to know this family, I realized that the reason I had moved west was to meet them. Once it became safe for Alejandro and Zoila to return to their village in Huehuetenango, I travelled with them and met their families there. The story of Pamela received their blessing. They, like that woman taking shelter in a church, wanted the story of Guatemala to be told. And they approved the cover of the book because they recognised from the cover painting of a young woman in traditional hand-woven clothing the pattern of the fabric. There's a saying in Guatemala, "She speaks her skirt." From the weaving pattern of a woman's skirt, you can recognize what village she is from and what language she speaks. There are 6 major Mayan language groups and many dialects within those groups in Mexico and Central America. In my next podcast, I'll take a broad view of historical fiction, which The Reddening Path is, paralleled with a contemporary story. And there will be several more podcasts focusing on specific characters from the book, notably Cortés and Malinche, Fabiana and Ernesto, Pamela herself, and Maria Teresa, Mother Superior of a Guatemalan convent. I'll also talk about the foundations of Catholicism in Latin America, about language and translation, about the immigrant experience and mutating forms of genocide in Guatemala. Thank you for listening. The audiobook of The Reddening Path is available from audible.ca, and the paperback is available from Thistledown Press or your local indie bookstore.